Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darus Salam, Toronto, Canada. Friday after 17th Talabi, 27th of August 2010. The real love comes after marriage. Marriage expenses should be as minimum as possible. The mutual respect is the key of peace for a conjugal life. The hidden relations under the shade of marriage, a real story in UK. Make a practice of giving salam when you reach home. You can even lie to solve the dispute between husband and wife. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Mawlana Rafiq Sufi Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَّوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَن يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَن كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إن الشرك لظلم عظيم وقال عز وجل لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تمسك بسنتي عند فساد أمتي فله أجر 100 شهيد وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا القرآن نزل بحزن إن هذا القرآن نزل بحزن فإذا قرأتموه فابكوا فإن لم تبكوا فتباكوا وتغنوا به فمن لم يتغن فليس منا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم ربنا زدنا علما يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Respected Honorable Ulama-i Kiram, Mashayikh-i Iram, Honorable Qurra, Respected Huffaz, Leaders, Elders of our community, Colleagues, Friends, Young Children in Islam, Honorable Mothers and Sisters, I would like to greet you with the greetings of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, I would like to extend my thanks and gratitude to the participants today for making this program a success and giving sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to participate in this gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our presence. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May He make your sitting here a means of elevating my iman. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May He make me say those things which are haq and the truth. May He save me from the evils of my tongue and the evils of my heart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite mercy grant me the ability to say what will be a means of benefit both for the speaker and the listeners. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Actually, before I came today, I was intending to speak on something different. But as we heard, I was requested by one of my close friends that we should speak on the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. And that is what I intended and that is what I planned. But Allah planned something different. We can plan as we want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. I even brought the notes with me in my pocket. I was going through the notes before Salatul Isha, and I put the notes into my pocket for Salatul Isha, and we heard the recitation of our honorable and esteemed Huffaz, and Allah changed my mind. And I thought that it is most appropriate that what we heard today in our Salatul Taraweeh, we should try and understand some of the core messages of the recitation today. I hope inshallah Allah Ta'ala assists me in my task today. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon what has been said and heard. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this juz many, many lessons for me and you. And in the initial part of the recitation, subhanallah, Allah mentions his signs, subhanallah. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. It is from the signs of Allah that He has created you and me from soil. He created you and me from a composition of soil, water, and fire. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. And thereafter Allah gave us the mold of a human being, and we see them spread throughout the world. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. This was the power of Allah. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. La ilaha illallah. Allah created Adam with the word kun, be, and it was burned. Allahu Akbar. This was the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, when He created Adam, He created him from teen. He created him from teen, from mold of clay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. And thereafter, Allah put ruh and spirit into Adam alayhi salam. And from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, He created Hawa alayhi salam. And after created Adam, Allah says to the malaika, Allah says, now bow down, Allahu Akbar. Bow down in front of my creation. They had to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلَّهُمْ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Every single creation of Allah from His angels, every single one of them bowed down and accepted the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never questioned Allah. Immediately Allah said, bow down, and they all bowed down to Adam alayhi salam. Illa Iblis, Aba wastakbar wa kana min al-kafirin. Except Iblis, who was from the Aulad, and who was from the progeny of Shaitan. Who was Shaitan? Who was Iblis? Who was created from fire? He rejected it. He denied. He said, khalaqtahu min turab wa khalaqtani min nar. You created Adam from teen, and I have been created from fire. I can burn clay. I can burn soil. How can I bow down? Allahu Akbar. He created arrogance there and there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get out from here. You are not welcome anymore. You may be ta'usul malaika. He was given the title ta'usul malaika. What does ta'us mean? Ta'us means peacock, meaning the best of birds is the peacock. When we see the peacock, we see its feathers. People actually cherish the feathers. Yeah, people cherish them. La ilaha illallah. They actually have seen in my young days, I don't know if you've seen it, people actually put them into the Qur'ans. I saw that in my childhood. I don't know if you see it here in Canada. But in my childhood I saw that people would put peacock feathers into Qur'an. I don't know why. Subhanallah. Maybe they wanted to create the quality of a peacock in themselves, subhanAllah. Maybe they wanted barakah in that peacock feather, subhanAllah. Allah knows best. But peacock, subhanAllah, is one of the best birds. And the peacock is got beautiful feathers. And when he opens his feathers, subhanAllah, la ilaha illallah, it is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the peacock, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the angels, gave Iblis the title Ta'usul Malaika. He never left a space where he didn't do sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how much worshipping he was to Allah. He used to do every place, he never left a space where he didn't do sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For years upon years upon years, He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the time came, when Allah wanted to test him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him, and Allah created Adam, and after creating Adam, he says to them, do sajda. At that time, his reality came out, subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. His reality came out, that he did all that. Maybe he did it for the sake of showing people, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah protect us, ameen ya rabbal alameen. Say ameen.
Ameen.
Allah save us from vanity and pride and ujb and takabbur. This seed is very dangerous. Allah protect me, ameen ya rabbal alameen. Seed is very dangerous. It's easy for you brothers to listen and sisters. May Allah save me from the vanity of my heart. May He save me from kibar and ujb. This is very dangerous. Very dangerous. It's easy for mashayikh and management committees and mashallah imma to invite us here and speak to you and unfortunately give us titles which we are not entitled to. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Fala tuzakku anfusakum huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. We should not purify ourselves, for Allah knows best who is the most purified. May Allah, I only ask from Allah that may He make me according to the thought that you have. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I will treat of my slave according to what thought he has with me. Yeah? What we think of Allah, Allah will treat us in that way. And I hope from Allah that whatever thoughts you have in regards to me, good thoughts, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me like that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May He make that a reality. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So Iblis here, he denied the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقْتَهُ مِن تُرَاب وَخَلَقْتَنِي مِن تِيم مِن نَار. You created me from fire. I will supersede this clay. I will burn it out. Yeah? Arrogance came into him. Allah said, get out of here. Get out from here. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ. You get out. You don't not welcome anymore. He said, okay Allah, I will go. I know I have to go now. I've done what I had to do. But give me one opportunity to mislead mankind. Huh? To mislead mankind. He says, give me a chance. Allah says, go. I give you that chance. But remember, only those people will follow you who will be transgressors, who will be misguided. For my close servants will never ever accept you. Subhanallah. May Allah save us from the tricks and traps of shaitan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, وَلَا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Oh, you people who believe, look at the piyar and muhabbat Allah is calling me with. He's saying, oh, you believers, oh, you people with iman, do not follow the steps, step by step, not running. Look at the words Allah chooses here. لا تتبع خطوات الشيطان. Allah says, don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Forget running behind him. Don't even follow him slowly. Allahu Akbar. لا تتبع خطوات الشيطان. Don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. إنه without a shadow of doubt. Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Fatima, Zainab, listen to the call of Allah. إنه لكم عدو مبين. He is definitely your open enemy. Subhanallah. Yes. If today we were to know that this person is my enemy, we'd stay a mile from that person. We want to stay away from them because we don't want to get into it. We don't want their mischief on us. We don't want their sharp. We stay away. It's shaitan. Allah is telling me and you. Our Creator is telling me and you. And stay away from him. Don't follow his footsteps. Forget following shaitan himself. Don't even follow his footsteps. He is your open enemy. But what do we do? It is for us to contemplate upon. Do we follow his footsteps or not? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. He's our open enemy. Yet, do we make him as our close friend? Or do we make him as our enemy? وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِالصَّوَابِ. Allah knows best. Allah protect us from the tricks and from the تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسِ. Huh? تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسِ is a beautiful book, subhanAllah. And this book has got all mentioning about, subhanAllah, the tricks of the shaitan. May Allah give us the tawfiq to read books like that. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So I was mentioning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his signs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Allah's signs. What is there? And He created me and you from? Sayar. And then Allah further says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. You can see some faces happy, mashallah. Allah created, Allah signs is that He created for you partners from amongst you, subhanAllah. Yeah. Topic of the day, mashallah. Everybody say, Shaykh, talk about marriage, man, mashallah. Yeah. I'm married, I still want to know about marriage, mashallah. Allah gives me ijazah for four, mashallah. Yeah. Subhanallah. First, fulfill the right of one. You'll see what she says to you if you all talk about the second one, subhanAllah. She won't give you the daily bread, subhanAllah. Yeah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. It is from the signs of Allah. Just look at the word, subhanAllah. It is from the signs of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has created for you partners from amongst you. Why? Why has Allah chose these partners for us? Our life partners, why? Allah says Himself, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may get comfort from them. SubhanAllah, yes. The purpose of marriage is to get comfort. The purpose of marriage is to be rested, have peace and sukoon and tranquility and peace of mind and a peace in our hearts. The purpose of marriage has been mentioned to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his ahadith. Yet, we see many a times that unfortunately people don't understand the messages which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing me and you in regards to marriage. In today's society that we live in, we see that marriages are breaking up rapidly. Allahu Akbar. Because we don't understand the maqsad of marriage. We've not understood the purpose of marriage. That's why we see, unfortunately, that in today's society, people have got a high rate of divorce. People, unfortunately, are not fulfilling the rights of each other. The purpose of marriage, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says, I have put in you love and affection. SubhanAllah. Look at the words Allah chooses. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Love and mercy and affection. The problem in today's society is that the male thinks he is some guy in the home which has the rule in his hand. The woman sometimes thinks she is the one that is going to rule in the house. And then you create problems. They have their own egos. When they create these egos, that I am this and I am that. Who are you? Who am I? You know, this is what creates enmity. This is what creates hatred. This is what creates separation. You respect each other for what they are, subhanAllah. You respect each other for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each other. In that way you will see a marriage will be a blessing every day that you wake up, inshallah. Yeah. Love never decreases. Love always increases. Unfortunately, we have a misconception of love in our society today. We think, oh, many times people say, Sheikh, I'm in love. Oh, wow, man. SubhanAllah. Have you heard that, guys? Yeah? Sheikh, I'm in love. SubhanAllah. Who do you love? Yeah? I'm in love. Wow. So what's the problem? Sheikh, you know, I want to get married, but my parents are not consenting. I want to get married. Sister phones. Sheikh, you know, I'm in a problem, this and that. Can you please assist us? You know, we need to get married, but our parents aren't consenting. We're in love. You know? So subhanAllah. If you're in true love, then I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you that true love. Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear. He says, لَمْ تَرَ لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. You will not see
for two people that really love each other, nothing better than nikah. Now unfortunately we see people are having illicit relationships. Haram relationships. A person has got some inclination towards a woman. A male has some inclination towards a female. A female has some inclination towards a male. What happens? They start to have some feelings for each other. They start to date each other. They start going out with each other, which is out of Islam, which is out of the teachings of Islam. And then they eventually say, we're in love. Real love is after nikah, subhanAllah. Yeah? Real love increases day by day, subhanAllah. And we see majority of the marriages, like I said, which take place today, they are not love marriages. I term them as lust marriages. I term them as lust marriages. Because once they fulfill their desire, they abandon her. Once they use her and abuse her, they leave her. They go for somebody else. She looks more prettier. She looks more better. She's gonna leave. He's gonna leave her. And he's gonna go for somebody. And this is the story everywhere. Many people complain. We were in love. And then what happened? Whenever I get any of these cases, I actually try to ascertain whether they really are intending to stay with each other for the rest of their lives. When you see, you can tell. You ask a few questions and you can suss out whether this guy is genuine or not. And then you can see, okay, sometimes, you know, you do get love at first sight. Yeah? It happens, yeah? Love at first sight. Yeah? It happens sometimes. But then that love at first sight, you go further. You do it the halal way. You do it the proper way. Allah will give barakat in that, inshallah. But unfortunately, many a youngsters, many a people take the wrong step. And what happens? Allahu Akbar, Allah protect us. Then lot of sins take place. Sometimes we have the problem of parents not consenting. Sometimes you have a problem. Parents say, nay, nay, nay. Mere biradari ka nahi hai. Wo to khane mein malik hu, subhanallah. He is a khan family, I am malik. Wo patel hai. Aur mein pata nahi kya hu, samjhe na. Mein sidat hu aur mein pata nahi kya hu, samjhe na. Wo bharuchi hai, mein surti hu, la, la. Wo khane mein Punjabi hu. Is khan, I'm Punjabi. Yeah, he is not from a Pathan tribe. We don't want to know him. We'll kill you, man. Honor killings, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In our society, it's a reality. It's a sad situation in our ummah that we Muslims have been blamed for honor killings. Whereas Islam has got nothing to do with honor killings. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Islam never ever said that if you are denying or if you don't accept your part, your children going for somebody, then you start killing them. No. That is not allowed in Islam. If somebody wants to do it the halal way, well, see, let them accommodate for them. If there is genuity in there, if there is compatibility in there, if you see there is genuineness, then go for it. Try and consent and see, leave it to them. But like I said, many a times you have the problem of parents not consenting. What does that lead to? It leads to destruction of many people's lives. Allahu Akbar. I dealt with one case myself in my country. A girl and a boy were married with each other. This person, this girl, she was a British national. They called Mangeta. You call them? What do you call them? We call them freshies. We call them Jamai Damat, you know? Mangetar, yeah? What do you guys call them in this country? Mangetar? Subhanallah, mashallah. So they came from Pakistan. And they got married. Nikah was done. She went to Pakistan under the due and the pressure of her parents. They went there. He was the son of her uncle, so father's brother's son, so they were relations. We have to get you married to each other. Hamari biradari nak kat jayegi, yeah? Our nose will cut if we don't give you in marriage to into my brother's house. They get married, nikah is done. After that, they come to the UK, And when they come to the UK, when they got married in Pakistan, they were separate. And then, in Pakistan, just imagine, yeah? And this guy just got married. He's happy, oh, I've married this girl now, mashallah. I'm gonna go for my suhag night here, mashallah, yeah? My first night. He goes to the bedroom, mashallah. What does he get? A big gift. Allahu Akbar, yes. He gets a big gift in the form of a punch. Yeah. Yeah. She gives him. She tells him as soon as he goes inside, stay away from me, you. I'm already somebody else's. La hawla wa la quwwata. What does she say? Stay away from me. Don't touch me. Otherwise, I will reject your entry into the UK. Yeah, I have already given myself to somebody else. I am somebody else's property. I've only done nikah to you because of the force of my parents. Yeah. He's sleeping there in his bedroom. Maybe thinking, what's happening? Yeah, I've just got married. I've just got married. I was happy. My nikah was done today. And I've come to my bedroom. Yeah, and look what happens. He's been told not to touch that very woman who he did nikah with. And she says she's already the property of somebody else. Huh? He kept quiet. At the end of the day, it was something to do with his own uncle's daughter. So he kept quiet. And maybe he had some other motive in his heart that he wants to come to the UK and get a better living. Anyway, they came to the UK. They come and they live with each other. For 2 years, 2 years, they were living with each other. She was every day, every other day, going out with another male. And her husband knew about it, subhanAllah. Eh? Her husband knew. He couldn't do nothing. He kept quiet. He knew that my wife, because she said, that they thought, oh, the happy couple, when they would come downstairs, they would sit on the table, eat, and they would act. They would do acting as though husband and wife. And reality, there was nothing. There was nothing in between them. And then 2 years on, they was thinking, how come she is not having a child? Yeah? They said, well, you know, is there a problem? Is there some problem in the boy or the girl? And they started raising questions. But then the reality came out. The boy came out with the truth to his uncle. And said, this is the reality. This is the reality. That she's actually dating somebody else. And you know that the irony of this whole incident is, they already knew, the parents already knew that she was going out with this boy, and he also was from Pakistan, from the Pakistani community, but because he was from a different tribe, no, he's not from our family, we're not gonna get you married. Achieve Allah. Now he's a zalim. I said this on his face. The boy was a zalim. Because what he did, he ruined a girl's life. He went to Pakistan under the pressure of his parents as well. And he went to Pakistan and he got married to a girl. He got married to her. He actually used her. He abused her. He brought her to the UK. And she, innocent girl, not knowing what he's doing. Maybe her husband's going out to work. Not knowing, they would say, I have to go out, my company has told me to go 2-3 days out of town. And they would actually rent out a hotel, and they would both live there. And this guy, he gets married to this woman, and he makes her pregnant. He's got children from her now. 2 years, like I said, had passed, and they were dating each other. After 2 years, when the reality came out, and when I had the opportunity to speak to this young man, I said to him, so what are your plans? Because the father now understood the reality. He said to his nephew, don't worry, we will not send you back to Pakistan. We will not send you back. They came to me and they said, Sheikh, we have a problem. I says, what is your problem? He says, the problem is my daughter wants to get married to this boy. I says, okay, it's quite straightforward. We'll do the nikah. The Sheikh, is not that simple. I says, why, what's the problem? But she's already in somebody's nikah. I says, subhanAllah, how can she get married to him then? Says, the problem is, Sheikh, that this boy that she's got married to is my nephew. Says, subhanAllah, what next? He says, why? He's gonna give talaq now. Subhanallah, eh? Says, oh, so he's gonna give talaq, is he? Says, yeah, he has to make her free first, and thereafter, you have to do the nikah. I said, so I have to do talaq and then nikah. Subhanallah. That is a very strange nikah. That do talaq before nikah. Subhanallah. Ajeeb Allah. That was reality. Wallah. This was reality. I had to do talaq of that guy first. I said to him, okay. What do you mean? He said, Sheikh, don't worry. We're going to give him a house. We're going to give him a job. We're going to make his future secure. Maybe the guy was happy at the end of the day. Eh? He got what he wanted. A residence in UK. But that girl, I'm saying, the girl who got married to him, she wasn't really bothered. But I felt sorry. For the boy she was dating. That with the girl she got married to, what sin did she do? What sin did she do? And he says, I said to him, okay, so you want to get married to this girl? First I did that, I said, write down the talaq first. So he wrote the talaq for this girl. Once he was done talaq, one chapter closed, open the next chapter. Now, let's do the nikah. They said, before the nikah, I want to meet the boy. I met the boy. I said, so what do you intend to do? He says, I want to marry this girl. I've been dating her for so many years. Oh, we love each other and this and that, you know, on and on. Yeah. I says, okay, so what about the wife you already have? Well, you know, Musab, you know, I have to leave her. He says, you what? You have to leave her? Why? Because, you know, but I'm, she's making a condition on me now. She's making a condition that if you want to get married to me now, you have to give talaq to her. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I says, you zalim. You know, Islam allows you to have two wives. Keep her as your wife. Fulfill her rights. And keep her as your second wife. What's harm in there? Keep her. Why are you giving that woman some zulm for no reason? Why are you oppressing her? Why she's not worthy of becoming divorced? She's not no cruelty to you. She's not oppressed you. Why do you want to do that for? Okay, Sheikh, I'll listen to you. But as I found out later on, unfortunately, that's what he did. He actually gave up his first wife. And like I said, he used her and he abused her. And I said to the parents at that time, because I really felt it in my heart, I said, just if you were to listen to your daughter a few years ago, yeah? Today your daughter is happy because she's got what she wanted to get. She's got the guy she was going out with. She's got her husband actually giving divorce to the woman she's already married to. She's got what she wanted. But I feel sorry for that woman whose life has been jeopardized now. And in our community, unfortunately, if a girl, a woman gets divorced, then people look at these women with a different view. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. And people don't want to get married to widows. Unfortunately, this is the thinking of the people in our community. So what I was saying, wa min ayatihi, pani milega musab, acha mashallah, jazakallah. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja. Compatibility, marriages, like they say in the wedding cards, marriages made in heaven. They write in the card, mashallah. Oh, you get the card, subhanallah. Fancy cards, ajeeb. The wedding card is ajeeb. Sometimes you think, subhanallah, how much money have they spent behind this wedding card, yeah? And then they write, you know, this and that and everything. And we invite you and this and that. And you open the, you know, try to find out who the marriage is first. You have to open a few pages, you know. Sometimes it's all folded up, subhanallah. So it's a struggle in itself opening the invitation card, yeah? It's an invitation booklet, not a card nowadays. Subhanallah. Allah protect us. That money that we waste, a small paper is sufficient of inviting somebody. That money, give it to some poor girl. Give it to some poor guy. Get many, many young girls can't get married in Pakistan, in India, in Bangladesh, because they don't have money. For a mere, our $400 to $500, Canadian dollars, $500. What's $500, eh? Nothing. For $500, a young girl can be happy for the rest of her life. You can get her married, subhanallah, yeah? Why waste money? Give it to somebody that's needy. She will give you dua for your barakah, for the barakah in your nikah, inshallah ta'ala. Remember the words of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. The most blessed nikah is the one with the least expenses. Subhanallah. Least expenses. We want to do the most expenses in our weddings there. Hiring big massive dining bouquets and this and that and lavishing money and sure. Allah protect all marriages. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But I'm telling you reality. In my country I've seen it with my own eyes. People have gone to the extent. You know, we say following the non-Muslim. It's not following the non-Muslim. The non-Muslims' weddings are much more simple than ours. Let me tell you. They are much more simple. They are much more simple than our weddings. Our weddings are extravagant. People in our weddings now, in my country, are actually hiring helicopters. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. For fair wedding the girl. Subhanallah. Helicopter. Ah, khuda hafiz. Mashallah. See, bye bye. Sky, high in the sky. Bye bye. And next thing you know, 2 weeks later, she's saying, Papa, I'm back home. La hawla wa la quwwata. Where's the barakah? No barakah. أَعْظَمُ النِّكَاهِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَؤُونَةً. I say, people in my country, they actually rent out race course. You know, race, a horse, you know, when they race, and the course they have, race course, subhanallah. And they're renting it out. Why? For the sake of name and fame. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوتَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You want to spend money? Spend money in the right way. Allah will bless that marriage, inshallah. أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة. The most barakat nikah is the one with the least expenses. Moving on. It's from the signs of Allah that He created for you partners so that you may get comfort from each other. If we respect each other, that's when we get comfort, inshallah. You know, the recipe to a successful marriage, the recipe to a successful marriage is mutual respect. Bottom line. That's it. You respect each other and you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love into your hearts, inshallah. Allah will put love into your hearts, inshallah. But if you start saying that I am something, I am from this, I got married to you because I am something. Allah Akbar. Your father came to ask for me, I never came to ask for you. Subhanallah. Yeah? This is what they say. When they start arguing, who there? If she's got the looks, oh, look at yourself in the mirror will crack. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful I am. Look, you, I accepted you for the sake of you who are, you know, you're lucky that I am for you. Subhanallah. Yeah? Otherwise, so many proposals I got. Yeah? She's gonna say that to you. Yeah? You look at yourself in the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Huh? And you'll find out who it is, yeah? The mirror will crack when you look. Huh? That's where she's gonna come out with sentences like that. When they don't respect each other. Subhanallah. Obviously, marriage is all about understanding. In today's society, our youngsters say, I wanna get to know my partner before I get nikah with them. This is not permissible. Not permissible. Listen it clearly. What is this? It's not permissible in Islam that you are dating somebody for 2 years and after 2 years you say, oh, we're going to do nikah now, subhanAllah. You have to do nikah first. And then mutual understanding will come. Obviously, you are a different personality. She's a different personality. Some things you do, she won't like. Some things she will do, you won't like. But you will have to tolerate each other. You will have to understand each other. You will have to try and address these issues and try and create an understanding with each other. That is when your marriage will be a marriage of bliss. Yes. And a happy marriage. That's when we get sukoon. When you go into the home after work, then she won't say, oh no, he's back again. No. She'll be happy. She'll be waiting for you. She'll be saying, when is my husband gonna come back? When is my sartaj gonna come? Let me get the food out. Well, she's gonna be waiting for you to eat. Otherwise, she will eat first before you come. Mujhe gale mein ek jo hai na lukma bhi nahi jaane dega ye zalim. He's sitting on the table, anything you're criticizing. Oh, what kind of food have you made today? Yeah, it's too much salt today. Have you put some peppers in there? Is your mind working today? Were you sleeping while she was cooking today? These are the sentences people come out with. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Mutual understanding. Mutual understanding without partners. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, it's a topic in itself. Some people, who's not married, put their hands up. Put their hands up. Who's married, put your hands up. People who are married are not putting their hands up. Can you identify them to me, please? Huh? Who is saying they're not married? Huh? You, subhanallah. Are you sure about that? Can somebody verify he's not married? Nobody, man. Where are you from? Subhanallah. Allah bless you. Scarborough. Scarborough. MashaAllah. We'll find a girl for you. Don't worry, inshallah. The brother from Scrub wants to get married. Any proposals, please pass them on to me. I'll talk to them, inshallah. Subhanallah. Allah bless you for the sake of Allah. Many people who are married, subhanallah, yeah, they have no peace in their homes. Because every time they are quarreling, they're not respecting each other. When you go into the home, Rasulullah says, when you enter your home, فَسَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ. Say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. When you say salam, the house will be full of barakats, inshallah. Yeah? Not when you come in. I'm here. I'm here. So yeah, I know you're here. So what? Yeah? Big deal. I know you're gonna come at this time anyway. Take your shoes off. You stink, man. Subhanallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Say assalam. You will see the change it will bring into your home, subhanallah. Not how I'm here now. Sometimes, you know, when there's a good relationship, honey, I'm back home. Anybody there? Yeah, subhanallah. Eh? Salam, say salam first, and then say honey. And then you can get funny, inshallah. Yeah. Subhanallah. If you know what I mean, yeah? That's what partners are for. Subhanallah. Hey, don't mind me joking, Sheikh, eh? Don't want a fatwa from me, inshallah. Subhanallah. Wallahi, lives will be happy, full of joy, if you spend it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you respect each other for what they are, you will see that day by day, your love will increase. Obviously, sometimes some things will happen, but you have to understand each other. That's what it's all about. You have to control your anger. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also saw signs of some things that the Ummahatul Mu'mineen did. Yet he showed signs of unhappiness and then rectified them. Yeah, he did the islah. He rectified them. He remedied what they did wrong. So that's what we have to do. But not showing our attitude to them. Not showing our attitude. If we show our attitude, then unfortunately, our homes will be homes of hell. Not homes of Jannah and bliss. When you go into the homes, go in this manner, happily, mashallah. The partners and your spouses will be waiting for you, inshallah. And then, inshallah, you know, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away all your worries. And all your tiredness will go away just by that assalamu alaikum. And the reply she will give you, subhanallah, with her love and affection, the reply she will give you, all your tiredness will go away, inshallah. Who's experienced that? Put your hands up. Oh, people of Canada are very harsh hearted. Subhanallah. Hafiz Imran, mashallah. Allah bless you, mashallah. Allah give barakah in your nikah, inshallah. So you experience it. See, many of us haven't experienced that. Why don't you experience it? Why don't we actually utilize our love, you know, with our partners according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We gotta do it in that way. We gotta act in that way. Subhanallah. That's why Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. Allah says, indeed, in this are many signs for the people who have contemplation. Subhanallah. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. People who ponder, people who contemplate, people who do tafakkur, who do tadabbur, on the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our relationships, there are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who creates this love? None but Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it needs for me and you to give that sacrifice, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see how our marriages become a happiness and become a means of our sukun. Otherwise we see, many a times we see our haji sahabs and our qaji sahabs in the masajids. Say, Hazrat, ghar pe kyun nahi ja jaye? Ghar kaun jaye? Uske sunne ke liye mujhe kahan ghar jana hai? Masjid mein theek hai. Ab masjid mein fir dada giri karega. In the mosque, he's gonna be acting like the chief, you know? And in the home, bakri. Mashallah. Ghar mein jayega, tattu chalta hai uska. Kuch nahi chalta wahan pe. Ghar pe he doesn't nothing, you know? Sometimes you get that, you know, Rasulullah has actually explained that about that as well in the hadith. Subhanallah. If a person has got a wife who is demanding, and he bears that. He has patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him in abundantly in akhirah. Subhanallah. And if we see many of our pious predecessors and many of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Allah tested them through their spouses, subhanAllah. Yeah. Allah tested them. We know the story of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. His own wife was against his risalah. His own wife was rebelling against him. And Allah took care of her like he took care of the people of Lut alayhi salam. Allah also put adab onto her. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ And she was from the destroyed people because she also rebelled and transgressed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes Allah tests, many a times, through the spouses. There was one great sheikh, subhanallah, the great waliullah, subhanallah. And this waliullah, every time he would go, he would remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would be patient. And the wife would say, Tukon, who the hell you think you are? You become a big sheikh, huh? You're a sheikh, yeah? You just stay quiet, but tasbih, you know? Subhanallah. Allah give me sabar, inshallah. He would bear the scorns and the taunting of his wife every single day. One day she comes and says, you know, you call yourself a sheikh? He says, quiet. Well, what kind of a sheikh you are? Today I saw a real sheikh, subhanallah, eh? Oh, did you really? He says, yeah. I saw a real sheikh today. And he's a sheikh, man. Who you are? You're nothing. Yeah? You can't even fulfill my rights. She was scorning him. He never did anything wrong to her. But she was just saying that. What did you see? Today, I saw a sheikh flying on a carpet, subhanAllah. I saw him flying in the sky, in a carpet. He was flying on the carpet. Like we've heard of Aladdin's carpet, yeah? People, she said, I saw him flying. She says, did you really? Do you accept that he's a sheikh? She says, yeah, this is real buzru. He says, do you know something, my beloved wife? That was me. Really? That is why you were going a bit bent, yeah? She had to criticize him. Oh, no wonder you were going a bit bent, yeah? No wonder your carpet was a bit bent. Ah, it was you. Ah, oh, go, yeah. Subhanallah. I thought I'm going to convince her today, yeah? He goes, I'm going to convince her today. And she's accepting that this person flying on the carpet is the buzru. And when he says it was me, oh, is it you? Oh, no wonder you were flying a bit bent, you know? At the end of the day, they have been created from the bent rib. Allah has created their women from the bent rib of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. We will have to bear the scorns and the taunts of our partners. This is part and parcel of how we're going to live. But we have to tolerate it. We have to make sure that we do not abuse them in any form or shape. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never, ever slapped his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, Abdullah becomes angry. Oh, how dare you? I kill you. Slap one. Go back to your father's house. Yeah? Straight away. Without any hesitation. I'll say it now, huh? Be careful. I'm going to say the word, huh? Be careful. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Slap someone. Punches someone. Physical abuse. We know of so many incidents. Domestic violence in the homes which is taking place. which is totally against the Sharia of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we want to justify that. And it's not only in our Asian community. Unfortunately, it's in many communities of the Muslim Ummah throughout the world. Abusing women in that way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never slapped his partners. Never slapped. And today, people abuse them. They punch them. They hit them. They basically scratch them. And they beat them up. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Just imagine, you were to get the beats. Yeah? Just imagine, she took the, you know, the rolling pin out, the rolling pin and give you a few on your head. You'll understand where you were then. Yeah, mashallah. But no, you know, we don't understand. We can't, we like I said, there will be occasions when you will get angry. But tolerate, go away, sit down, drink water. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Cool down. And then, at the end of the day, say, love, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. It will forget everything, inshallah. Ask for forgiveness. But no, I'm not going to forgive her. She has to ask forgiveness from me. You know, many incidents you deal with. It's only a matter of a slight misunderstanding. Yeah, and then they come, it becomes a big dispute. Slight misunderstanding. It becomes a big dispute. And then the father's father, the girl's family, and the boy's family get involved. Yeah, and then they sit down and say, Sheikh, we want you to be the hakam. We want you to be the judge in this whole incident. So I say, forget everything. I don't want to talk to you families. I want to talk to the boy and the girl. Let me first identify, because they will mix salt and pepper. Huh? They will mix salt and pepper. Hey, she said that, and he said that. She's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. Until she doesn't say this, until he doesn't. And it's only a matter of little misunderstanding. Subhanallah, wallah, I can swear by the name of Allah, I have dealt with cases when there were minor issues, minor disputes. But the families made them big disputes. So I sat down with the boy and I said, what's your problem? She said this to me. I said, what's your problem? He said this to me. I said, don't worry. Don't worry. He's asked for forgiveness from me. I said, really? He says, yes. He says, sorry. And I said, he says, sorry. I said, really? Yeah, he just can't say it, but he's told me. I say lies, and it's jais for me to say lies, huh? Laysal kadhab alladhi yuslihu bayna an-nas wa yanmi khayran wa yaqulu khayra. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa taslim. My Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that person is not a liar. Laysal kadhab, a person who continuously says lies for the sake of joining two people. Laysal kadhab الَّذِي يُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, the person who tries to solve disputes. He says lies to the girl that he actually asked forgiveness. He says lies to the boy that the girl asked forgiveness. He says lies to the boy that the girl asked for forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person is not called a liar. Why? Because he's doing it for a better cause. He's doing it for a good cause. And the good cause is he wants to take away this dispute in between the two. And when you really go into the depth sometimes, it's a minute issue. Oh, one day she came and she was late and I phoned her, where are you? I'm at my mother's. Oh, why? You better come now. I'm a bit busy. Say, no, I can't come now. If you don't come now, I'm going to be angry. And that's all it was. And what happened is I tried to get out, but some guests came to my mother's house and I couldn't get out at that time. And my husband got angry. Why didn't you listen to what I told you? Why didn't you come on time? And then he just created a dispute. Something from nothing. It was something which was beyond their control. Sometimes the shaitan and the nafs overtake somebody. That's fine and well. We ask for forgiveness. And we ask for forgiveness. And they say, bygones, forgiven is forgiven. End of the day. You move on in life. Subhanallah. So disputes do occur, but we have to resolve them accordingly. We have to make sure that we do not abuse our partners. We have to make sure that we do not try and only fulfill our lust and desire. Fine. It's a natural need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. One of the primary purposes is that we fulfill our need. A man has a need and a woman has a need. And that is their natural need. And if they don't fulfill that in the halal way, Allah protect every single woman and male. They will fulfill that in the haram way. Allah protect us from that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. Don't even go near to zina. Forget doing zina itself. Allah protect us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So, to protect us from that, to make sure that we fulfill our natural need, Allah has given us the halal way of nikah. النكاح من سنتي. Nikah is from my way, from my sunnah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whosoever will turn his face away from my sunnah, he is not from my ummah. Subhanallah. Yeah? Today's day and age, people want to try and say, okay, you know, as we know, many people in our Western countries, they actually don't do marriages. They go out with their partners and they have children with them. And after the children go a bit elderly, then they say, we're going to get married now. After so many years, what's happening? It's our married day. And now the children are going to the marriage of their parents. Subhanallah. Yeah? That's what happens. Yeah? That's what happens. But this trend of not getting married at the right time, unfortunately, has been followed by Muslims as well. We're not going to marry now. I'm only young yet. I'm only 25. Only 25. Subhanallah. I'm only 25. So how old do you want to be to get married then, yeah? He says, I'm only 25. Rasulullah ﷺ was 25 when he got married. He says, wait a minute. Rasulullah ﷺ was Rasulullah ﷺ. And do you want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah? He was 25. The woman he got married to was 40. You going to do that? Tell me, you going to do that? No, when we find the right partner. Ya ma'shar al-shabab. من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجع أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, O young man, whosoever wants to get married, من استطاع منكم الباءة, whoso has the means of supporting a woman, who has got the ability of accommodating for a life partner, he can bear the costs of a partner, فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Then he should get married. Why? فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. The purpose of marriage is that our eyesight will be saved from sin, inshallah, yes. It will be a means of your lowering your eyesight, and your gazes will not fall on non-mahram women in the haram way. وَأَحْسَنْ لِلْفَرْشِ. And it will be the best way of protecting your chastity. Protecting your chastity. وَأَحْسَنْ لِلْفَرْشِ. But whosoever hasn't got the ma'una, hasn't got the capability and capacity to sponsor and to bear the costs of a partner, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. Then he should keep fasts. This is the prescription and remedy told to us to control our lust and desire. That you should keep fasts. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَى. For it will be a means of protection for you from sinning. But remember, the fasts should be the sunnah fasts. Yeah. Not like the fast we keep in today's day and society, subhanAllah. At the time of iftar, murgam musallam, and this, and that, and this sharbat, and this kichra, and that kichra. Everything bikra, mashallah. Huh? So much that everything we eat is got chili and whatnot inside. And then you have the chili and then it's going to make you funny. Yeah. It creates urge inside you. Remember, harara will create harara. Yes, chili you eat more, it will create harara. So what I'm trying to say is that this is a remedy shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we don't have enough money to support a partner. In this country, alhamdulillah, people will, inshallah, who have been settled here, you know, they don't have no reason not to get married. You know, if they find a suitable partner, they should get married. Make them, inshallah, live their lives, try and support each other, and move on in life, inshallah. Coming back to the Quranic verse, which I started with, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. I think we've not gone further than that. Our time has lapsed. We are only 5 to 6 minutes away from 12:30. Inshallah, carry on. Are you sure about that? You want to carry on, inshallah? The barbecue is waiting for you, inshallah. It's not going to run away, inshallah. Don't worry about it. Barbecue is ready for them. You can smell it. I can smell it, mashallah. Who's hungry? Put the hands up. Nobody's hungry, mashallah. Healthy people, mashallah. You shouldn't eat when you're not hungry. So let's sit for another hour, inshallah. We'll get hungry then, inshallah. Subhanallah. And then Allah mentions these signs. The day and the night. And the creation of the skies. And the creation of the earth. And Allah mentions signs upon signs upon signs. These signs are for me and you to contemplate upon. May Allah give us the tawfiq to contemplate on these signs. And alhamdulillah, I think only from the fadl of Allah, we touched on the topic of marriage today. But it's an important topic. It's something which is relating to us in our daily lives. Many youngsters today are looking for their partners. Let me tell you which partner you should look for. Rasulullah ﷺ says, تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَ لِأَرْبَى لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ طَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ او كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. Generally, a person looks for a woman for her looks. Yeah? How does she look? Yeah? I want to know how she looks. I mean, oh, she didn't look. Can we feel? I don't want her. And then what happens? She goes for somebody more beautiful than her. Alhamdulillah. If Allah's given her beauty, external beauty, internal beauty, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If her akhlaq is good, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But many a times, beauty is not everything. Yeah. Don't fall for the looks. Yeah. That's what I say. Don't fall for the looks, because that beauty could go sometimes. After time passes, you'll see the wrinkles on her face. And it won't be the same as it was the first day. Huh? So then what are you going to say? Oh, you become ugly now. You're going to get married to somebody else. Huh? She's going to put all her makeup on, right? Trying to beautify herself for you, yeah? And nowadays, Allah, my sisters, you have to beautify yourselves for your husbands. Not for every other people outside, yeah? Huh? This is a general problem we have in our society. We make our women dress up for others outside. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Woman has to be dressed up for her own husband. In her home, she's going to be wearing the tatty clothes, you know? She's going to be wearing the normal clothes. But when she's going out, hey, get dressed, you know? We're going to go out today, yeah? Okay, I'll get dressed. She's happily going to get dressed, yeah? But who's going to be looking at her? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. She's getting dressed for somebody else, not for you. So women, my sisters, you got to beautify yourselves. Beautify yourselves for your husbands. Anyway, coming back to the point. Rasulullah says, a woman should get married for four reasons. Gets married for four reasons. تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِمَالِكُ. A person gets married to a woman because of her wealth. She's from a wealthy family. تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِمَالِهَا. Yeah? So because she's coming from a very rich family, a person thinks, oh, if I get married to her, then my financial situation will be secure. She's got money, her parents have got money, and this and that. And then money makes you funny. Subhanallah. And then afterwards, if a dispute happens, I know you basically, the house is on her name, and then you've added the name, his name onto the property as well, and slowly, gradually, when a dispute happens, they take it to the courts, and what do they want? Share 50-50, yeah. Cheap. Whereas he had no right on that property in the first place. She bought it with her, because her father or parents gave it to her as a gift. Yeah? But here, person gets married to a woman because of her wealth. تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا. She's from a good family. She's got some respected family member. Her family is of honor. So if I get married into that family, I will also get honor. I will be called the son-in-law of this family. Yeah? So for honor and respect, and you know, just so that you get a good name. وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا. A woman gets married for her looks and her beauty. Rasulullah ﷺ says, forget the wealth. Forget the hasab and nasab. Forget the family lineage and honor. Forget the beauty. فَظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. If you want to look for somebody who is pious, subhanAllah. Look for a girl which has got piety in her, which has got taqwa in her. Because that taqwa will beautify her, inshallah. That taqwa will make your life a life of happiness, inshallah. فَظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ طَلِبَتْ يَدَاتِ. May your hands be full of salih, meaning that this is the successful way. This is the only way you will be successful. Like I said, if you get a woman who is, mashallah, good looking, as well as pious, she is also pious. Alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. This is blessing upon blessing, subhanallah. Allah ta'ala give you that, inshallah. Say ameen.
Ameen.
Even the ones who are married said ameen, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Don't tell your wives I told you to get married for a second time. Don't get a Molvi here again, yeah? It's trouble. Subhanallah, yeah? Everybody wants a beautiful wife, subhanallah, yeah? Like I said, look, the youngsters who are not married, look for deen. Inshallah, in that way, your dunya will become better. خَيْرُ مَتَاءِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best possession you can have in this world, خَيْرُ مَتَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, the best worldly possession is a pious wife, subhanallah. Wallah, she will assist you in your daily life, in your religious aspects. She will assist you when you want to do the work of deen. She will assist you when you are feeling tired. She will assist you in all aspects. And we have got the examples like of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. We have the examples of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are great examples for us, for our women folk to follow. So coming back to the point that we just mentioned, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on in this very recitation that we heard today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Luqman alayhi salam. Luqman, some mufassirin say, was a prophet, and some say he was a pious man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. But anyway, he gave some advices. Luqman alayhi salam gave some advices to his son. And these advices are very precious. They're very precious. And advices he gave, subhanallah, advice upon advice, a full ruku' has been mentioned with these advices. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. First advice he gave to his son. He says, oh my beloved son, do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, shirk, associating partners with Allah, is a great transgression, is a great oppression, and it's a great zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will never forgive associating partners with Allah. We have to believe in the oneness of Allah. Say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There is no deity but Allah. There is nobody worthy of worship but Allah. We believe in that. That is final. Ultimately, there is no one who can assist us and help us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ma'buda illallah. La masjuda illallah. La ma'buda illallah. La raziqa illallah. La fatiha illallah. La rahmana illallah. La rahima illallah. La malika illallah. La raziqa illallah. And we can go on and we can go on. Allah's qualities and attributes are unique, subhanallah. He has no partners with them. Allah has no partner. Allah is unique. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, Allah is one. Allahu samad. Allah is independent. He does not need anything. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah was not the child of anybody. Neither is he the father of anybody. Allah has no children. Allah is not the father. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is none which can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is something really, really, really that Allah ta'ala really hates. And Allah says in the Quran, I will not forgive it. I will not forgive shirk. Because this is a great sin that you are doing. You are associating partners with me. And then shirk has its category, subhanAllah. Shirk akbar. Shirk asgar. Shirk akbar is associating partners with Allah. Shirk asgar is trying to create a quality of Allah in ourselves. Like the quality of kibr. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Thinking that you are something and powerful. For this quality of being something, that is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-kibriya'u ridai. Glorification is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot have arrogance. That's another issue. It's coming further in this Quranic ayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, immediately after that, He mentions, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. That we have decreed for mankind to show kindness to his parents. SubhanAllah. Yeah? Say La ilaha illallah. Yeah? Immediately after saying, don't associate partners with me, immediately after that, Allah says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. That we have ordained upon you, we have given you hukam, we have then wasiyat to you, we decree that you do not show anything but kindness to your parents. SubhanAllah. In another verse in the Quran, Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. In Surah Ibn Israel, Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, Allah has decreed, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, your Lord has decreed, that don't associate anybody, don't worship anybody except Him, and be courteous and kind to your parents. The rights of parents, a topic in itself. Time doesn't allow us. Inshallah, your a'immah and your khutbah will talk on these issues. After rights of parents, Allah specifically mentions the sacrifice that our mothers went through. SubhanAllah. Yeah? The sacrifice our mothers went through. فَحَمَلَتْهُ أُمَّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنًا. She went through a difficult patch. She went through the pregnancy of bearing this burden, which was, you know, extra burden on herself. She went through that. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding her. He says, be grateful for that. Be grateful towards your parents. Be dutiful to them. But do not listen to them in regards to transgressing Allah's laws. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. My Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there is no obedience for the creation of Allah in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our parents say, oh, go and work here in a pub, we can't do that because it's haram. We can't do something that's haram. If our parents are forcing us to do something and saying that, oh, you say this which is against the Sharia, we can't say that. Because this is against the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we won't listen to them, but still we will not show signs of disrespect to them. SubhanAllah. We won't still show signs of disrespect. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few other nasiyah which Luqman alayhi salam gave. And he says, Ya bunayya, aqim as-salah. Establish your namaz. Wa'mur bil ma'roof. Enjoin good. Wanha anil munkar. Stop from evil. Yeah? Stop from evil. وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكِ. And bear whatever calamity comes from Allah. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْبِ الْأُمُورِ. For this is from the highest grades of, you know, good qualities. It's from great things. عَزْبِ الْأُمُورِ. From one of the great things is that we have these qualities in us. What? That we establish our namaz regularly. We do amal bin ma'roof. Nahi anil munkar. We do the work of da'wah. We go out and we remind ourselves and we remind others of the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do the work of amal bin ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Amal bin ma'roof, nahi anil munkar. Enjoining good and forbidding people from evil and stopping them from evil. Wanha anil munkar. Wasbir ala ma'asabah. And whatever comes, any calamity, we bear patience. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. And then Allah Father says, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allahu Akbar. Don't put your cheeks up. Everybody wants to put their cheeks up, you know, in arrogance. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't put your cheeks up thinking that you're something. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And don't walk on the face of this earth with arrogance. Allah doesn't like a person who walks with arrogance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. And then when you do walk, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَغْدُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. When you walk, walk with humility. Walk according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the moonwalk. People want to do the moonwalk, you know? They're walking on the tiptoes, chest high. You know, I'm something, man. I'm dead, man. How's it going, man? Yeah. How's it going, you know? He's walking like that with his half jacket out. And nowadays, half trousers down. La hawla wa la quwwata. They want to show their backsides. We don't want to see that, man. Who wants to see the color of your underwear? La hawla wa la quwwata. A new trend has come out today. People want to show their underwear. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What kind of a mentality do they have? Subhanallah. I trust sometimes, I think, you know, they go through sacrifice. I call they give in. They can't walk comfortably. Their trousers are half down, yeah? They're not walking, but they're bearing that just for the sake of dunya. La hawla wa la. You see them walking sometimes, you feel sorry. Allahu Akbar. They can't even walk properly. I feel sorry for that guy, yeah? But they're walking half trousers down, and you can see their, you know, underwear, and they're walking like that with the half jackets, and I don't know what. And they wear trousers half torn. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why? It's style. Oh, man. Subhanallah. One day I was in masjid. I was praying namaz. And a guy sitting next to me, he had socks on. Color different. One was orange and one was green. Subhanallah. Eh? So I said, maybe this guy has woke up from the wrong side today. Yeah. So I look at him and say, so Subhanallah. Afterwards I say, brother, you know the color of your socks, you know. Can you please change them when you come for your next salah? He says, why, Sheikh? I says, they're different color, man. Can't you see that? He says, yeah, but you don't know, Sheikh. I says, what's the problem? Sheikh, it's style, man. I said, what's the style today, man? He goes, you have to wear different color socks. Subhanallah, yeah? Is it in this country as well? Not yet. I hope he doesn't come here. In my country, they've got this, yeah? They're wearing different color socks. Next thing you know, they'll have different color eyes. One with this color, one with that color. Contact lens, one red and one green. Oh, what's happened to your eyes, man? One is red and one is green. I don't know, traffic lights. Subhanallah. One says green, one says red. One says stop, one says go. I don't know, Sheikh. It's style. Subhanallah. Style. Achieve Allah. Yeah? La tamshi fil ardi maraha. Don't walk in that way. Waqsid fi mashik. Waqdud min sawtik. You see, today people are screaming everywhere loud. Subhanallah. You walk on the street, they're screaming at each other. They're shouting at each other. Because they think that's cool. Yeah. They think to shout, you know, when you go to a football match, they shout out, they chant out loud. Yeah. Come on. Maple upper leaf. What is it called? What is it? Maple leaf? Or upper leaf? Which one is it? Maple leaf. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Oh, come on, yeah? They're going to shout out loud. I've got another team called Apple Leaf. It's going to beat Maple Leaf. We'll have a game in Akhirah, inshallah. Yes, seriously, it's people shouting out loud. And they think it's cool. And na'udhu billahi min zalik. This bad habit has come into our masajid. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You'll see people, one person sitting in that corner. One person sitting in that corner, one person sitting in that corner, one person sitting in that corner, and they're shouting at each other, la hawla wa la quwwata, in the masjid. They'll be calling each other, Ali Musa bhai, O Dawood bhai, Ali kya, apel, kaam kairu tumhe, wo kaam kiya tumne, bale tamne pachi malu zara, pachi malu tamne, I'll see you later. They're shouting at each other. People are doing tilawat in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people in no consideration whatsoever. Shouting out loud has become some kind of a bad attribute in the Muslim ummah today. Sorry?
Another style,
subhanAllah. Hadith verifies that, mashallah. Style of the masjid, subhanAllah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the sign of qiyamah. Sign of Qiyamah. Isn't it, Sheikh? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, he mentions sign upon sign. He says, "Rufiatil aswatu fil masajid," or kama qala alayhi salatu wa taslim, a time will come when people will raise their voices in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a sign of qiyamah. Subhanallah. Allah protect us. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Allah protect us. Ameen. So waghdud min waqsid fi mashika waghdud min sawti. And then Allah says, inna ankara al aswati la sawtul hamir. The worst of noises is the braying of an ass and a donkey. Then when they make that noise, it's the worst of noises. And you want to make that noise? You want to shout out loud in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you want to talk in that way? No, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's not style. It's something against the teaching of Islam. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw something against the Sharia, when he saw something against his Sunnah, he would become angry. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes show that anger in his voice. Sometimes he would show that anger in his eyes. His eyes would become red. Sometimes his nerve would pop out. His veins would pop out. In anger, he's bearing it. But then he would explain to them. Sometimes he would be strong in his speech. Sometimes he would tell Sahaba, "Of wake up, this is what we need to do." Sometimes he would explain in a soft manner. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a need sometimes that we need to be reminded in a soft way. Sometimes we need to be shaken up. We need to be shaken up so we wake up from our slumber and our sleep. This is what we need to do sometimes. But this is all from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have gone much beyond the time. 15 minutes Hazrat Maulana allowed me. My 15 minutes are over. We've still not finished the Quranic verses which I wanted to talk upon. But obviously the Quran is vast and our speech is very little. The Quran is full of knowledge, is an ocean of knowledge. And what is mine and your speech is nothing. Whatever we said, may Allah give us the true understanding of the Quran and Hadith. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May He make us true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May He make us flag bearers of Islam. May He make us those who become a means of guiding themselves and guiding others to the deen of Islam. And may He save me and save you from being amongst those who become a blame and shame to Islam. Allah save us from imitating those who become a blame and shame to Islam. Islam is a religion of peace. Islam has got nothing to do with terrorism. Islam has got no association with terrorism. Terrorism is a concept which is beyond Islam. Islam says, "Kuntum ummatan wasata, inna ja'alnakum ummatan wasata." We have made you a moderate nation. We have made you the ummah which is moderate. No right extreme, no left extreme. Islam is a moderate religion. Islam is the middle religion. Islam is the best religion. Islam is the religion which came over 1400 years ago, and it has come for the need of the world. For the need of the dunya, Islam has come as a blessing, not only for Muslims, but for all of mankind. But it is for me and you to share the beauty of Islam to the wide community out there today. Unfortunately, we Muslims are doing such activities and such things by which not only we as Muslims are getting blamed, but unfortunately, Islam is getting a blame. Islam is getting a blame. And we know many people will try to blame Islam and will try to challenge us. And we know of the incident. Another person wants to do, they want to keep a ceremony of burning the Quran. You've heard about it. On 9/11, we saw the texts flying around everywhere. On 9/11, at 6 o'clock in the evening, in Florida, they want to keep a program where they want to basically commemorate 9/11 by burning the Quran. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I say, let them do that. If they want to do it, we can try our best with all means that it is against the ethics of mankind to do something with a holy book. If it was the Bible, we would protest the same. If it was the Torah, we would protest the same. For the book of Allah is for honor and respect. Yeah? Whichever book. But if they want to do that, Allah will deal with them. For Allah says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We are the ones that have revealed the Quran, and we are the ones who are going to be the protectors of the Quran. What can me and you protect? Allah will protect, inshallah. But what Allah wants me and you to do is bring the Quran into our lives. We are burning the Quran on a daily basis in our lives. We are leaving the Quran behind our backs. We are throwing the Quran from our lives day in and day out, day in and day out. Yet we don't realize, when are we going to wake up from our slumber? When are we going to wake up from our sleep and bring the Quran into our lives, inshallah? May Allah give me and you the tawfiq, like I said, to bring Quran, to be amine Quran, to the ones who act on the Quran, and to bring the true message, the beautiful message, and the peaceful message of Islam to the all four corners of the world. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balag. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabiyy al-Kareem. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم فجزاكم الله خيرا أحسن الجزاء في الدارين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.